بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 2nd of April in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we're beginning the third month the 61st night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu and we are now mentioning his blessed name during the campaigns in which the land of Egypt was finally taken. So the next section entitled The Battle of Danin. Since the strategic village of Danin was north of the objective fort Bab Liyun, the believers had to open it before the fort, for it would not be militarily wise to leave behind an armed fort and move ahead to besiege another one. So the objective was Bab Liyun. The problem was there was another military fort, Danin. So that had to be dealt with first. Danin lays on the banks of the Nile. Thus inevitably, at Danin, a fierce battle broke out. The Romans would issue from the fort from time to time to engage and then quickly return to it when things got worse. This lasted for weeks. But the Muslims were not weakened by this long siege, for they had enough provisions. So this was their tactics. Attack, retreat. And obviously they were fully, you know, stocked up, as they say. Hopefully the Muslims would lose heart, but they didn't. Whilst in this state, suddenly a messenger of the Muslims came announcing the arrival of additional troops. This further now demoralized the Romans. So while this was taking place, news came that some fresh contingents had come to add to the strength of the Muslims. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu thus seized the opportunity and at the most opportune time ordered his forces to now storm the fort. With Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu in the forefront, they attacked and by the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally seized it after killing a huge number and capturing the rest. So this is the nuts and bolts of this engagement, i.e. Danin. With the additional impetus of the believers, he had a demoralizing effect upon the Romans. Amr used that as a psychological advantage and eventually he broke through and he was subdued. So moving on to the objective, the battle of the fortress of Bab Liyun. After the fall of Danin, Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu marched triumphantly on with his men and now the additional troops towards Fort Bab Liyun, where subhanallah they found Al-Muqawqis himself. So this was the ruler of Egypt who was acting on behalf of the Romans, Muqawqis. The word Caucasian comes from this, Muqawqis. So if the ruler is in this place, it means it's going to be the most, you know, serious encounter. The fortress was besieged, but due to the incredible defenses, the siege lasted for a prolonged 7 months, during which time Al-Muqawqis sent his envoys to Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu to negotiate with him. The three usual alternatives were offered. So think about this. I'm just saying it nice and comfortably. He's sitting here like yourselves with 7 months on the battlefield. Imagine, you know, one, you know, sacrifice after another. And Muqawqis, seeing that the Muslims weren't, you know, buckling, he started sending some messages and Amr refused any compromise. Al-Muqawqis now weighed up his options. Upon assessing the situation, he was gearing now towards paying the jizya. He thought this is the only way out. He goes, pay the jizya, at least unnecessary blood will not be spilt. But he had to first write to the emperor Heraclius for permission, because obviously he was second in command to Heraclius. So what happened? In Ibn Abd al-Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr, volume 1, page 101 and 104, it mentions, he responded, the Islamic army consists of just 12,000 soldiers, whilst the number of Copts living in Egypt are innumerable. If the Copts, i.e. your subjects, choose not to fight and to pay the jizya, then always bear in mind, you can also count on the Romans living in Egypt and Alexandria, who amount to more than 100,000 well-prepared and well-equipped men. Thus, I do not see why you cannot defeat the Muslims. You and your men should diligently resist and oppose them, and do not dare to defy my orders. So this was Heraclius' reply. So Muqawqis goes jizya. He said, there are only 12,000 soldiers. The brother asked me yesterday, right? How many were they? Jumping the gun all the time, right? Why asking these questions? I'm going to answer them. So there's 12,000. And look what he said, Heraclius. If the Copts, who are the Copts? The Egyptians, under your rule, choose not to fight to pay the jizya, don't worry. He goes, you can count on the Romans living in Egypt and in Alexandria. He goes, there's more than 100,000 of them. So what are you saying? He goes, if the Egyptians don't want to fight, don't worry. He goes, we've got 100,000 strong. He goes, you can easily defeat the Muslims. Then he goes, don't dare defy my orders. Having received the emperor's letter, Muqawqis responded with another. The Muslims, despite being fewer in number and less in power than ourselves, they are still more powerful. For any one man of theirs is in reality worth 100 of ours. Why? For he prefers death over life. Recorded by Al-Makrizi in his Al-Mawa'ith, volume 1, page 293. So Muqawqis, he knew. He thought they've subdued the Persian superpower. They put you on your knees, and you're asking me to go forward. But he didn't put it like that. All he said was, don't look at their small numbers. One of them is like 100 of ours. So they've really got what? 12,000 times 100. What's that? You work it out. And then he goes, they prefer death over life. He goes, how are you supposed to fight people like this? Heraclius, when he got this second letter, he was furious. And he responded in the negative to paying the jizya. He then summoned Muqawqis back to Constantinople, where he was ultimately banished. Thus came to the end the rule of Muqawqis in Egypt. So what happened? Heraclius wasn't having any of it. Because you're dismissed and you're summoned back to, which is now Istanbul, that was the capital, the Turkish capital now. And he was banished. Now this man Muqawqis is very important to highlight. He was the one who respected the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the same man. And he sent gifts. Who did he send? Maria. Because of this, the scholars say, not Allah Ta'ala was protecting him. So Muqawqis' rule ended now in Egypt. The siege of Bab-Liyun was prolonged, meaning he wanted to give jizya. Heraclius says no. Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayh, he relates an incident here which is worth mentioning. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 99. And it shows how fatigued the Muslims were. At the end of the day, they were human beings. If they're fighting and the pre-siege is prolonging for 7 months, you can imagine they're going to start having some aches and pains. It is related in Al-Bidayah that when Al-Muqawqis made one of his sallies, some of the Muslims for the first time broke off from engaging with them. So like I said, they were coming in and out of the Romans. For the first time when the Romans came out, the Muslims backed off. Though Sayyidina Amr was informed, radiallahu, he was angered and he gave them a suitable rebuke. One of the Yemeni soldiers, he thereupon said in frustration, "We are after all flesh and blood, O Amir." In other words, we're tired and you're rebuking us. To which Amr radiallahu responded, "The actions which you and your like performed would have not been done even by a dog." So how can you ever justify it? Now what do you mean by that? Does a dog ever disobey his master? Just for the sake of a bone? So what he was saying was just the reality. He goes, how can you justify something that a dog wouldn't do? The man was offended. He took it the wrong way. He said, then you must be the Amir of the dogs. Astaghfirullah. Voices were then raised. But Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu simply raised his hands to his force to overlook the remark. So now what do we learn about Amr? He was very forbearing. This incident, which is authentic in Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 99, undoubtedly proves that the campaigns were indeed taking their toll, and also highlights the incredible forbearance of Sayyidina Amr. But this is important to highlight, because some people give you the impression they were all solid all the way through. But it's important to highlight the human frailties. And also notice Amr. You can see the brilliant examples of his character during these incidents as well. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu then turned away from this small group. And now he called upon the magnificent companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all others to advance. For only by them would Allah ta'ala give victory. So they were Sahaba. He goes, we need this fort to fall Babliyun. So what happened? Ibn Abdul Hakim in his Futuh al-Misr, volume 1, page 94, it mentions that Zubair was at the forefront. And Zubair radiallahu anhu, he said, I am now going to sacrifice myself for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant victory to the believers through this. So imagine Amr, who was under his authority. Zubair, one of the ten promised paradise. So Zubair is saying to Amr, don't worry, I'm ready to give my life. And inshallah, Allah ta'ala will find a way for this. Thus, when Amr radiallahu anhu intensified the siege, a small and most brave band of believers managed to successfully scale the walls of the fortress by night. And upon being spotted, the alarm was raised. So what's happening? They had to break in. So it's extremely dangerous. Why? Because if you're attacking a compound, they're going to have guards. But during the night, Zubair radiallahu anhu, just like at Bilbis, he was the first to scale the wall of the fortress, followed by his group. So this is what he meant. I'm going to give my life. He did it at Bilbis, which I mentioned yesterday or the day before. Now he's doing it again. When the alarm was raised, Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu anhu roared a loud takbir and gave orders to his group to attack the guards. Because we haven't got much time. You have to eliminate the guards. The guards were soon dispatched, with a flurry of others now coming from all directions. There was now not a moment to lose, meaning the guards were now coming, the soldiers. Then by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they somehow managed to open the huge gate, and the forces of Islam finally flooded in with roars of takbir. So we don't know much details. He got in, they had to open the gate. How they did it, Allah ta'ala knows best. They did it. And Amr saw the sign, he goes inward, and they were roaring the takbir. Thus, subhanallah, the fortress was finally seized by force. However, surprisingly to many, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu made a treaty stipulating that the Roman troops bring out with them only the supplies they needed for a few days, whilst the fortress of Bab al-Uyun and its stores and weapons remain as spoils for the Muslims. Thus, jizya was imposed. So this is interesting. So what's happened? Amr, he made a condition, and it was a treaty, even though it was taken by force. The Roman troops bring out with them only supplies they needed for a few days. The rest is to be in the possession of the believers. There was a wisdom behind that. The prolonged siege and finally opening of Bab al-Uyun had taken its toll upon the believers. What was the toll? It is related in Al-Maqdisi, in his Al-Mawa'iz, volume 1, page 294, that 2,200 Muslims were martyred during this prolonged siege, many of whom were later buried within the fortress itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their untiring efforts and have mercy upon each and every one of them. Ameen. So obviously, many Muslims were falling, and this was a huge toll. 2,200 were martyred, and they were buried within Bab al-Uyun, i.e. some of the first Muslims to be buried in Egypt. So making a start on the next section, the march towards the capital, Alexandria. So this is important. The capital of Egypt, what is it now? Cairo. Cairo. It's not Cairo. The capital of Egypt in those days was Alexandria. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu and his troops stayed in the grand fortress of Bab al-Uyun for several months, so the troops could now rest, whilst all the while awaiting further instructions from Amir al-Mu'mineen to now proceed with the liberation of Alexandria. But this is important. Finally, they get a break. Sayyidina Amr, he makes the troops rest in the newly conquered territory of Bab al-Uyun. And he sends a message to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, what's the orders? When the permission finally came, Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu left a strong force in the fortress and he set out with his troops. So he's left a strong force in Bab al-Uyun and he's heading towards Alexandria. He was now most informatively accompanied by a number of Egyptian leaders who realized that their interest lay in supporting the victorious Muslim forces. This again shows the brilliance of Amr. How? For maybe it was for this reason he had earlier accepted the jizya from Bab al-Uyun rather than taking it as a land conquered by force. Look at his brilliance. Right? If you take a land by force, there's no jizya. Pure spoils. Why did he accept jizya when Bab al-Uyun had fallen? Because Amr wanted the Egyptians to see the magnanimity of the Muslims and hopefully then help them. Isn't that political genius? And exactly that's what happened. So now when he's heading towards Alexandria, Egypt, who are Muslims, Egyptian says, we're going to help you. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu thus set off with his troops towards Alexandria, and on the way there, they haven't reached Alexandria, on the way there, there were soon some fierce clashes with enemy forces. One of them at Al-Qiryun, so they're heading towards Alexandria, and obviously there's outposts. A fierce battle took place at Al-Qiryun. It is related in Ibn Abd al-Hakam in his Futuh al-Misr, volume 1, page 57, that Sayyidina Amr's illustrious son, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr, radiyallahu anhum, was wounded countless times during this clash at Al-Qiryun. So, now what's strange? Who's greater, the father or the son? The son, the scholars say, was great. So even though we're going through Amr's life, radiyallahu anhum, his son was in this force. And look what happened to him. He was wounded countless times in this clash at Al-Qiryun. The concerned aged father thereupon sent a messenger to inquire about his son's welfare. To which Abdullah ibn Amr replied in poetry to say all was well. So he didn't just say, I'm fine, father. He actually wrote poetry. The messenger returned with the message To which Amr ibn al-As replied with a smile and pride, "He truly is my son." So now think about that. Somebody goes, "What do you know about Abdullah ibn Amr? He was a great worshipper." He goes, "What do you mean worshipper?" He goes, "He prayed all night, tajid, read the Quran in one night, fasted all his life. And his wife, you know, was saying, 'What a great husband I've got. Why don't you talk about his jihad?'" Then the guy starts scratching his head. He goes, "Jihad, Abdullah, I'm a bit confused. And Al-Kiryun," he goes, "Al-Kiryun," he goes, "even more bafflement. Egyptian campaigns. Oh, did he get a scratch? He was seriously wounded. And look how touching, the father's concerned." And the son said, "Nothing to worry about, father, keep going. Alexandria is in front of us." Thus, subhanallah, his noble son was more famously known for his knowledge and worship. But this, as shown, was coupled with his indomitable courage and patience in the face of hardship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Amen. So Lord Sahaba with Amr. Don't you get the impression he was the only companion leading the... It was Zubair, Abdullah ibn Amr, Uqba ibn Amr, and others, which I'll mention at the relevant time, in these campaigns. And they were getting the marks of jihad, which is an honor for them, mashallah. So all I mentioned today was proceeding to ultimately the fall of Alexandria. We talked about the battle of Umdanin, then the battle of the fortress of Babliyun, and then the march towards the capital, Alexandria. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, wa bihamdika rabbana wa bihamdika, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa asbahu al-haq, wa asbahu as-sabr, sadaqallahu.